Good evening, and thank you for being here. Our goal this evening is to take our big God, who we can only see a small part of, and see if we can see just a little bit more of him tonight, see his glory. Our first song, Make a Joyful Noise, invites us into his presence with singing, because the psalmist commands us to do that.
Make a joyful noise unto the Lord. we just sang about lifting our eyes to God, to Jesus. The next song is an invitation for us to go into the presence of God. It says, "Who shall ascend into the hill of Jehovah? Who shall stand in his holy place?" And then the answer is, "He that hath clean hands and a pure heart, he shall receive the blessing from Jehovah and righteousness from the God of his salvation." So that is my testimony tonight. If we have clean hands and a pure heart, we can go into the presence of God. But we need to go to God first to get our clean hands and pure heart. And I'm thankful that God has this whole system set in place for us so that we can go and worship him in his presence.
The next song is called "For You Shall Go Out in Joy," and it talks about the mountains and the hills rejoicing and praising God. And I had to think of the time when Jesus was entering Jerusalem on a donkey, and the Pharisees were telling the people to stop praising him, and he said, "If the people stop praising me, even the rocks will cry out and praise me." And it's a reminder to me that God does not need us to glorify him. God doesn't need us to praise him. He will glorify himself, and he only chooses to use us, and that is an incredible blessing that he has decided to use us to bring him praise.
Be led forth in peace. The
This song quickly became one of my favorites on tour. It shows how beautiful and awesome it is to worship God. And God's beautiful holiness is another thing that's just really amazing to think about. And there's some songs that say, you know, the mountains and the hills shall clap their hands. It's a really powerful feeling. And God is really awesome. It's awesome gets misused a lot, but it's just a feeling of being filled with awe. Honestly, it's really cool. And the thing is, you don't have to be hunkering down here and being afraid of God. You get to rejoice while you worship Him. You get to sing. Singing is just really cool.
Rejoice before Him. Oh, Rejoice, rejoice before him. Rejoice before him.
As has been alluded to several times already, worship has been a key word for us as a chorus. And I suppose for a chorus, that should be no surprise. But it's felt like, on our tour especially this past 11 days, like we've been students in the school of worship. And we've had the master teacher helping us along. We haven't had any graduates yet. I don't expect we will on this side of eternity. Worship is far too huge for us to grasp it, because God is far too huge for us to grasp. But we've been making some progress, and God's been showing us some new things. I'd like to share some of those. We've learned that some of the things that we sometimes associate with worship aren't necessarily musts for worship. Worship doesn't necessarily include warm fuzzies or good feelings. It doesn't necessarily even matter how we feel. When you're standing before an awesome God, some of those feelings are inevitable at times. But we also learn that worship can be a lot of hard work and sacrifice, dying to ourselves and choosing to glorify God, whether we feel like it or not. That's true worship. This next song says, "Go not far from me, O God. Cast me not away in the time of age. Forsake me not when my strength faileth me." And sometimes that's where we're at. But even in that case, the psalmist says, "Oh, let my mouth be filled with your praise, that I may sing of your glory and honor all the day long." And so that's our desire, is to glorify God when we're singing, but also in the rest of our lives, to always be glorifying God, whether we feel like it or not.
Thy glory and honor all the day long. Oh, let my
All right, at this time, all the kids can come up, and some of you can sit over here, some there, and then up to about here. Okay, there's a few, a little bit more room there. Why don't the rest of you just sit right here? Okay, you guys can move on back. Oh, excuse me. Okay, some of you guys can go back over there. Oh, boy. Hey, you guys need to move. Is that okay? Just go ahead and back to them. Oh, hey, do you about three of you guys want to go over there? There's plenty of room. All right. I am looking forward to doing this skit for you guys, mainly because I know you guys. Skit is about some sneetches. Some of you guys have seen this skit already, but do you guys know what sneetches are? Just raise your hand if you do. It's okay. Okay, we've got a few. All right, they are fictional birds, and they have some funny ideas. So, enjoy.
Now the star-belly sneetches had bellies with stars. The plain-belly sneetches had none upon thars. Those stars weren't so big. They were really so small, you might think such a thing wouldn't matter at all. But because they had stars, all the star-belly sneetches would brag. With their snoots in the air, they would sniff and they'd snort.
We'll have nothing to do with the plain-bellied.
And whenever they met some, when they were out walking, they'd hike right on past them without even talking. When the star-belly children went out to play ball, could a plain belly get in the game? Not at all. You only could play if your bellies had stars, and the plain-belly children had none upon theirs. When the star-belly sneetches had Frankfurter roasts, or picnics, or parties, or marshmallow toasts. They never invited the plain-belly sneetches. They left them out cold in the dark of the beaches. They kept them away, never let them come near. And that's how they treated them year after year. Then one day, it seems, while the plain-belly sneetches were moping and doping alone on the beaches, just sitting there wishing their bellies had stars, a stranger zipped in the strangest of cars. He announced in a voice clear and keen.
My name is Sylvester McMonkey McBean, and I've heard of your troubles. I've heard you're unhappy, but I can fix that. I'm the fix-it-up chappy. I've come here to help you, and I have what you need. My prices are low, and I work at great speed. My work is 100% guaranteed. Woo!
Then quickly, Sylvester McMonkey McBean put together a very peculiar machine, and he said, so they clambered inside. Then the big machine roared, and it clonked, and it bonked, and it jerked, and it burped, and it bopped them about. But the thing really worked. When the plain-belly sneetches popped out, they had stars. They actually did. They had stars upon theirs. Then they yelled at the ones who had stars at the first.
We're exactly like you.
You can't tell us apart.
We're all just the same now, you snooty old smarties. And now we can go to your Frankfurter parties.
Good grief!
Groaned the ones who had stars at the first.
We're still the best sneetches, and they are the worst.
Now, how in the world will we know?
They all frowned.
If which kind is what, or the other way around?
Then up came McBean with a very sly wink. and he said,
"Things are not quite as bad as you think. So you can't tell who's who. Well, that's perfectly true, but come with me, friends. You know what I'll do? I'll make you again the best sneeches on beaches, and all it will cost you is $10 each. Belly stars are no longer in style,"
said McBean.
"What you need is a trip through my star off machine. This wondrous contraption will take off your stars, so you won't look like sneeches who have them on bars."
And that handy machine, working very precisely, removed all the stars from their tummies quite nicely. Then, with snoots in the air, they paraded about, and they opened their beaks, and they let out a shout.
"We know who's who!
There isn't a doubt!
The best kind of sneeches
are sneeches without!"
Then, of course, those with stars got frightfully mad. To be wearing a star now is frightfully bad. Then, of course, old Sylvester McMonkey McBean invited them into his star-off machine. Then, of course, from then on, as you probably guess, things really got into a horrible mess. All the rest of that day on those wild screaming beaches, the fix-it-up chappie kept fixing up sneeches. Off again, on again, in again, out again. Through the machines, they raced round and about again, changing their stars every minute or two. They kept paying money. They kept running through until neither the play nor the star bellies knew whether this one was that one, or that one was this one, or which one was what one, or what one was who. Then, when every last cent of their money was spent, the fix-it-up chappie packed up and he went, and he laughed as he drove in his car up the beach. But McBean was quite wrong, I'm quite happy to say, that the sneeches got really quite smart on that day. That day they decided that sneeches are sneeches, and no kind of sneech is the best on the beaches. That day, all the sneeches forgot about stars, and whether they had one or not upon thars.
Charade where I lost all.
Just a line from the last song. It says, people in realms of every tongue dwell on his love with sweetest song. And then the next verse begins, let every creature rise and bring his grateful honors to our king. That's pretty all-inclusive. That pretty much doesn't leave anyone out, anyone who's not called to praise God. And I guess I felt really, really privileged to be on tour, but I also felt really privileged to be one of the ones who got to talk to people on the streets of Toronto while the others were singing. It kind of happened by accident. I wasn't planning on it or really knew I would, but I felt like that was a special gift God gave me because my day had been kind of discouraging when we were, you know, doing cultural acquisition, which was great. It was very good, but the Jewish people tend to be very closed, and that's where we went. Anyway, but that evening, I got to know some people from Canada. Well, actually, very few of them were from Canada. Most of them were from, Switzerland, Croatia, different places in Asia. I forget now where all they said. They were from all over. And which is pretty typical of Toronto. It's a very, very multicultural city. Anyway, and I found out that people in Toronto tend to be initially very open. They're very used to seeing people of different cultures. But deeper than that, they tend to be pretty closed to change because they feel their culture is okay and don't you change it. And so I was kind of wondering, you know, thinking about this, and I thought about the fact that Jesus was not a white American Mennonite. He was actually a homeless Jewish rabbi. And it's not about me communicating my culture to them. It's so much more about them knowing Jesus. The timeless person he is, the most satisfying person he is. I want to just highlight some of our favorite lines in Jesus, Lover of My Soul. In the third verse, it says, thou, O Christ, art all I want, more than all in thee I find. And it concludes, just and holy is thy name. I am all unrighteousness. False and full of sin I am. Thou art full of truth and grace. And I am so, so grateful that I worship a God who is so satisfying. I am so weak. I am so sinful. But he, I don't know. I mean, there's no words to describe how good he is. Worship him with us tonight.
Let me do thy voice, O God. Next song is Come Thou Fount of Every Blessing. And today, as I was working out, a song came to my mind, and it hit me in a brand new way. I've sung it dozens of times. But it just solidified something I learned on tour, and that is that I, by myself, am nothing. We as humans are absolutely nothing without Christ. We can do nothing without Christ. The song starts out with, "Come thou fount of every blessing, tune my heart to sing thy grace." We don't even have the power within us to glorify God without God giving us that power. Second verse says, "Oh, to grace how great a debtor daily I'm constrained to be. Let that grace, Lord, like a fetter, bind my wandering heart to thee." The songwriter's asking God to bind his heart to himself, acknowledging that we can do nothing, that we need God's help to follow him even. The last verse says, "Prone to wonder, Lord, I feel it, prone to leave the God I love. If I went the way that was natural, I wouldn't be standing up here. I would not be a follower of Christ. But by his grace, and because he pursued me, I am following him." And it ends with a commitment to God. The third verse does. It says, "Here's my heart, Lord. Take and seal it. Seal it from thy courts above." And again, acknowledging that we need God. We're asking him to help us as we glorify him.
and for the kingdom will you go to glory with me. Hallelujah, praise the Lord. I am bound for the kingdom will you go to glory with me.
Next song is My Faith Looks Up to Thee. I had a faith experience at the start of this tour. The night before we were going to leave is about a little over a week and a half ago. Actually, tomorrow night, it'll be 2 weeks. I came home from a youth activity and felt really nasty. My stomach felt all gross and I was just not feeling very well. And so I went to bed and slept kind of fitfully till about 2 o'clock. And then things started really going downhill, and I had a really miserable night. So I'll spare you the details, but by about 6 o'clock the next morning, I was feeling awful. Like, I couldn't keep anything down, and I really wasn't sure if I was going to be able to go on tour or not. We were supposed to be meeting at 8:30 and on Friday morning. And so I texted a bunch of the guys to pray for me. I asked for wisdom and grace. Wisdom that I would know what to do, and grace to accept the decision that God had for me. So at that point, I had thought about it quite a lot already, and I was at the point where I told God, okay, it's fine with me if I'm not supposed to go on this tour. Like, that would have been awfully hard for me if I couldn't have gone, but I was at the point where I just had to give it up and say, you know, if you don't want me to go, that's okay. And so we decided to get Sanford and Jolene over to pray for me. And we had a little anointing service, and they laid hands on me and prayed for my healing. And almost immediately, I started feeling better. And I started feeling like, you know what, I think God wants me to go on this tour. You know, even if I'm feeling a little weak, you know, sometimes God works through our weakness and shows himself that much more strong. And so, anyway, I started getting ready to go, and Dad took me over to church, and I was feeling pretty weak, but I was feeling really good about going. And I just want to say, praise the Lord for healing me. This next song, it talks about our faith looks up to him. I admit my faith was a little weak that morning. And, I was just feeling like I wasn't quite sure what was going on. You know, why would God not want me to go on this tour that I've been looking forward to for the past 5 or 6 months? And so I just want to say, you know, sometimes we experience stuff that really tests our faith. But I think that's where we grow the most. And so, just listen to the words of this song.
The next song we're singing is By His Hand. And this song has come to mean a lot to me over the past months. And this song speaks of comfort and contentment to me. The last verse says, Lord, I would clasp thy hand in mine, nor ever murmur nor repine, content whatever lot I see, since 'tis my God that leadeth me. And just the picture that I get through this song is of God our Father, and he's reaching down to us, and we, as his children, can reach up and clasp his hand. And I just love that picture. Hold tightly to his hand.
Okay, the next song we're going to sing is called Embrace the Cross. Jesus tells us that we are to deny ourselves and to take up the cross and follow him. And I think often when we think of cross-bearing, we think of it as something negative. It's something that we keep ourselves from doing. We push ourselves down. We make ourselves be holy. And this song would indicate that cross-bearing can be a positive experience. It tells us that we are to embrace the cross. We are to embrace the love the cross requires. We are to cling to Jesus, the one who knew every pain and gives us the compassion to love others. We are to cling to the love, to embrace the love that comes from following Jesus and to embrace the life that he gives. And I think that really is the core of cross-bearing, is not something we don't do, but something that we do. It's embracing the life of Jesus Christ.
There was numerous times throughout the chorus tour that I didn't really feel like giving a program beforehand. I was tired.
feeling bad, not inspired. And I think a lot of us went through that. But it was before one of our programs that I realized that it doesn't really matter how I'm feeling. When I'm feeling weak and tired, I have just as much to give as when I'm feeling strong. Because in and of myself, I don't have anything to give. And it's all about Jesus and Him flowing through us. That's the only way we can do any good. And this next song talks about Jesus coming and helping us. It starts out, says, "Can't you live humble?" And then it says, "Praise King Jesus." And it's when we realize that we can't do anything on our own. It talks about crying out to God and Jesus coming and setting us free. And it's that realization that it's all about Him that allows us to live humble.
This next song we're going to be singing is called Rutland, and I'm not quite sure what the title actually has to do with the song. Okay, here we go. The next song we're going to be singing is called Rutland, and I'm not quite sure what the title has to do with the song, but it has become one of my very favorite songs this year. It starts out on a really depressing note. It starts out talking about death, and it says, "My flesh shall slumber in the ground," period. And, you know, I've had some occasion to think about this whole death thing, and conversely, thinking about life. And some of our interactions, especially in Toronto, kind of drove this home to me. That imagine with me in your mind's eye a continuum with eternity past in this direction and eternity future over here. And on that line, there's a dot. And that dot is the time that we call life. You know, it's kind of depressing to see a little dot on a long line. Or it can be. But I think that realizing that our time here is a dot calls us instead to urgency rather than discouragement. You know, this song talks about how we will die. That dot will end. But the line keeps going. It says, "My flesh shall slumber in the ground, but only till the last trumpet sounds. Then burst the chains with sweet surprise, and in my Savior's image rise. This life's a dream, an empty show. But the bright world to which I go hath joys substantial and sincere. And then the question that we should ask ourselves when we realize that the line keeps going. When shall I wake and find me there?
We have one more song for you, and it's our benediction, our blessing for you. It is simply that you would go in grace, in the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. The song goes on and says, wherever you are, God is there, beneath the blessed sky, and that's the blessing I leave with you.